Turn in your Bibles, please, to the book of Mark, the 16th chapter. Mark chapter 16 in your Schofield Reference Bible, page 1068. And we'll read from this chapter the first seven verses. We'll read the verses responsively. After reading that, I'll direct you to another place where we'll read a couple of verses in the book of Luke. But first of all, Mark chapter 16, verses 1 through 7. May we stand, please, for the reading of this passage. And when the Sabbath was past, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James, and Salome had brought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came unto the sepulchre at the rising of the sun. And they said among themselves, Who shall roll us away the stone from the door of the sepulchre? And when they looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away, for it was very great. And entering into the sepulchre, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a long white garment, and they were affrighted. And he saith unto them, Be not affrighted. Ye seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. Behold the place where they laid him. And then the text verse, let's read it together, verse 7. But go your way, tell his disciples and Peter that he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him, as he said unto you. Turn now to the book of Luke, the 24th chapter. Luke chapter 24, page 1112 in your Schofield Bible. And we'll read verses 33 and 34. These verses we'll read together. Luke 23, verses 33 and 34. And let's read. Ready? And they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together and them that were with them, saying, The Lord is risen indeed, and hath appeared to Simon. And let's pray. And Father, we ask for your blessing. We ask for thy special help, and presence, and power in this place tonight. Thank you for so many people. And thank you for so wonderful a book, thy word. Thank you for a preacher who preaches it, who cares about us. We pray for thy Spirit's power now in a special way, thy anointing upon preacher and hearer. In Jesus' name, amen.
There are all kinds of different types of messages that come across this pulpit. Some of them are bombastic, and we justly attack the evil one and evil. If that is your favorite message, then you will not enjoy your favorite message tonight. Sometimes we spring, as we did this morning, messages of comfort and courage, for strength and grace. If that is your favorite, you will not find this to be your favorite type preaching tonight. Occasionally, however, we bring some message that is loaded with sweet and precious truth. And tonight, if that is your favorite kind of message, you're in for a field day, because I'm going to share with you one of the most beautiful stories of the grace and mercy and tender personal love of Christ that you'll find anywhere in the Bible. I'm going to speak tonight on the subject, Welcome Home, Simon Peter. Welcome Home, Simon Peter. I hope that you'll listen carefully. I believe I'll share with you some truths that, in fact, when we read the scripture a while ago, on two occasions, I just laughed. I smiled, because it's so sweet. When I thought about what we read in a place or two, I just smiled. And I've been looking forward to sharing these sweet truths with you. It won't do a bit of good unless you hear me. Our Heavenly Father, I pray tonight that You'll help us to love Thee more and understand how much You love us, or understand more how much You love us, because we've come. What a delicate, sweet way You handled this backsliding preacher. And what a sweet and merciful manner that You use in bringing him back to Yourself. As we investigate this precious story tonight and the details surrounding it, give us of Thy presence, please, in a special and wonderful way. Amen. We left Peter this morning with him cursing. We found this morning that Peter cursed and denied the Lord because he warmed at Satan's fire. But we found that was not the initial step toward backsliding. We found that behind that, Peter was following afar off. We found, however, that though that was conducive to backsliding, it was not Peter's first step into sin. We found beyond that, back beyond that, we found that Peter was sleeping when he should have been watching and praying. And that aided in his backsliding. We, however, found that that was not the original cause. That was not the first step. For beyond that, Peter boasted. And he said, Lord, I know that somebody is going to betray You. I guarantee you one thing. You can count on Me. It won't be old Pete, I'll tell you for sure. It may be one of the others, but you can count on Me. He said it would never happen to him. And that certainly is a dangerous position in which anybody could travel. But that wasn't the original step of Peter's journey and trek into sin and to backsliding. The original step was, as we learned this morning, Peter did not trust Jesus enough to believe that when suffering came, it was best. You recall how that Jesus spoke about His coming death. Peter said, far be it from Thee, Lord. Far be it from Thee. He could not understand how that Jesus could start the church if He had to go die. The Messiah had come, as I said this morning. And Peter had looked for His arrival, as had every faithful follower of Judaism down through the years. Now the Messiah had come. It had been given to Peter and his generation the great privilege and great blessing of living in the time when the Messiah came. Not only had Peter been given the privilege and blessing of living in the time in which the Messiah came, but he had been chosen from all the followers of Jesus as one of the 12 apostles to know Him best. Not only had he been chosen as one of the 12 apostles to know Him best, but from the apostles he had been chosen to be a member of the inner circle of three that knew Him even better than the 12. But not only had he been chosen to be in the inner circle of the three, but he had been chosen to be the leader and the spokesman of the apostles. He was the number one, always was. Every time the apostles are listed, Peter's listed first. Every time the inner circle is listed, Peter is listed first. Now we find him as we've gone backwards to investigate the origin of his backsliding. Now we'll go forward not trusting the Lord. The Lord talked about His coming death. And Peter said, no, Lord, You're not going to die. Now, Peter, You trust Jesus. It may not seem to you that this is the thing to do, but You trust Jesus now. He knows what's best for you. And then Peter came a little later, and the high priest came, and they came to get Jesus and take Him away to try Him wrongly. Then crucify Him. And Peter pulled his sword and tried to behead a servant. And he ducked, and Peter got his ear. And Jesus said, now put your sword back up, Peter. He said, get thee behind Me, Satan. Peter didn't trust the judgment of Jesus. The sun was out. Peter thought, okay, what the Lord is doing is fine. When the clouds came, Peter could not comprehend that was best. And he thought he knew better than Jesus did. And that was the first step. And then, of course, on to boasting. And then on to sleeping when he should have been watching and praying. And then on to following afar off. And then on to cursing and swearing denying the church, denying the faith, and eventually denying even his own Lord. Now, Peter's there. He's all the way down the bottom. He's gone from being the head of the disciples and the spokesman for the 12, all the way down to not even admitting he was a church member, all the way down to not even admitting he was a Christian, and to denying his Savior, and not only that, but cursing and swearing what he did. Now listen carefully. Jesus is going to get him back. And I want you to notice how he gets him back. How tender is his manner. How precious is his language. How chosen are his words. How delicate is his care as he gradually, slowly but surely, reels the Apostle Peter back to himself. I want to give you five precious things. Number one, he prayed for him. He prayed for him. Jesus said, Peter, I prayed that your faith would fail not. Now, Jesus had no better words than we have. By the way, I want you to look at me. This is not a class, so no note-taking, please. I want you to get the truth, and we're not going to give a test on this. I want you to listen carefully. Jesus prayed for him. Do you know that if Jesus were here in America today, he wouldn't have any more vocabulary than is available to me? He'd have the same number of letters in the alphabet that I have. And he wouldn't have any better Bible to preach from than I do. And he wouldn't have any better gospel to preach than I have. And if Jesus preached tonight in this pulpit, he'd preach a lot better than I'm preaching, but he wouldn't preach a better gospel because I got the same one he has. And he couldn't find a better book than I have because I have the same book he has. So when Jesus prayed for Peter, I don't think he's any special thing. Like we pray, I can hear him. Oh, Father, bless Peter. I love that fellow. He's been with me all this time, 3 years. I remember when his brother, Andrew, brought him. He was sort of green timber, dear God, but I saw something in him nobody else saw. And I chose him. I saved him first. And I chose him to be one of the 12. And then I chose him to be one of the 3 in the inner circle. Then I chose him to be the leader of the apostles. And I love him. Oh, Father, bring him back. Don't let his faith fail. Ah, that's something sweet about that. I recall years ago in Garland, Texas, where I pastored, I walked down the hallway of an educational building and I heard a voice. It was past midnight. And I heard a voice. And I wondered who in the world was at the education building past midnight. And I looked in a little room there where we used for prayer. I heard a fellow named Millard Camel. And Millard was praying. And I tiptoed just outside the door of the room. And I heard Millard Camel say, "Oh God, I love Brother Hiles. He's my preacher. He got me saved. And oh God, help him. And oh God, give him strength for the many duties of the church. And thank you, brother, for Brother Hiles and all the ways taught me the Bible. And oh God, bless my preacher tonight, wherever he is." He didn't know I was outside the door. Ah, there's something wonderful about hearing somebody call your name in prayer. And he prayed for me. Ah, but my Bible teaches me tonight that Jesus is at the right hand of the Father. And Jesus is praying for me tonight. And tonight, if you've wandered a bit away from God's plan for your life, if you've grown cold and if not as close to Jesus as you once were, he prays for you. He prays for you. I said this morning, the apostles saw him preach, but they never said, "Lord, teach us to preach." The apostles saw him as he taught, but they never said, "Lord, teach us to teach." They saw him raise the dead, but they never said, "Lord, teach us to raise the dead." They saw him perform miracles, but they never said, "Lord, teach us to do that." They saw him as he stilled the storm and calmed the wave, and as he walked on the water, and they never even said, "Lord, teach us to walk on the water." Now, that's what I'd have asked for if I'd have been there. But they didn't say, "Teach us to walk on the water." But they heard him pray. And they said, "Oh, God, we want to pray like that." Wouldn't you love to hear Jesus pray? He prays for you tonight. And he prayed for Peter. That's what Jesus is doing now. But he's going to get Peter back. What does he do? Here's an old cussing sailor, old cussing fisherman. He just got through denying the Lord.
Why, the Lord could have said, why, that dirty rascal, just when I needed him, I was the guy that saved his soul and forgave his sins and wrote his name in heaven. And I was his Savior. I called him to be an apostle and to be among the upper three and to be the chief apostle. I called him. And look at there. When I needed him, he was out yonder cussing and swearing and running to the wrong crowd.
Oh, but let me tell you something. You'll never get away from God's desire and God's love. You can go to the depth of the deepest sea, but God's love is deeper than that. You can go to the highest of the high, but God's love is higher than that. You will not go so far east or west, but what you can escape the love of God. The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It reaches far behind yon the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. Oh, love of God, how great, how pure, how measureless and strong. It shall forevermore endure the saints and angels' song. Peter is away from God. What did Jesus do to get him back? He prayed for him. Secondly, he not only prayed for him, but looked on him. And we won't turn to it, but Luke 22:61. It said that Jesus looked at Peter. The word look there means a close, penetrating look.
A look of anger?
Oh, no, Jesus never looked at anger on backsliders.
A look of disgust?
Oh, no. No, Jesus never looked disgusted to a backslider.
A look of reproach?
Oh, no. Oh, no. No. It was a look of love and compassion and mercy. I was thinking a while ago, years ago, when I resigned the Miller Road Baptist Church in Garland, Texas, I gave a month's notice. And during that month, we got away for a while and got some rest because it had been such a grueling thing. I'll never forget the night I resigned. It was on a Wednesday night. Now, bear in mind, I'd taken that church as it's become its pastor when it had 44 people. Had one little building valued at $6,000. Had chairs, folding chairs, and concrete floor, and rafters up, no ceiling, just rafters above us. And $6,000, and two little city lots is all we had. And we'd seen it grow from 44 people to 4,128 people in 6 years and 8 months. We'd seen on our first anniversary that 44 people become 617. And the second anniversary, 1,180. And it was on the third anniversary, 2,212. And the fourth anniversary, 3,163 people. And as I said to the night, never had a bus of any kind. I'd won many of the folks to Christ myself. I'd baptized almost all of them. I was the pastor there. Church town was growing. Church was flourishing. And we all thought I was there for a lifetime. Oh, were they ever startled when I stood up on a Wednesday night and I said, God has led me to go to Hammond, Indiana. And I'm resigning tonight, effective a month from now. And that's it. I couldn't say anything else. And the people started crying. And for one entire hour, all we did was cry. Nobody said a word. Nobody made an announcement. We just cried. That's all. And folks, I never saw a funeral as sad in my life. But I recall while I was waiting, I was at a laundromat. Our furniture had already been shipped up here, and I was at a laundromat doing some washing. You wouldn't believe I'd ever do that, would you? Well, God forgave me for it, and I'll never do it again. But I went to a laundromat, and one of our members was there. I can still see him. And he sat there across from me, and he tried to speak, and he couldn't. And his lips quivered, and he started to speak, and he couldn't again. And he just looked at me for about 30 minutes, and tears welled up in his eyes. And finally he walked over to me and said, why don't you get out of town? And I said, man, what are you talking about? He said, you're breaking my heart just sitting there knowing you're going to leave. And he looked at me, and I've never been looked at like that. He looked at me, and I could feel love as it came my way. I could feel a broken heart as it came my way. And Jesus looked at Peter. He looked at him.
What did Jesus do to get this cussing sailor and cussing fisherman back? What did he do? Did the storms of punishment and anger and the tempest of vindication lash out upon him?
Second, he looked at him. Now I'm going to come to something almost too sweet to mention. He sent him a message. Listen to this. Mary and Mary Magdalene and Salome came to the grave. They were going to anoint the body of Jesus. But and they said, who's going to push the stone away? And they got there, and the stone was already pushed away. And up, and Jesus was not there. He's risen. And there was a young man, it says, who was there, probably about 58 years of age. And he was there. And this young man said, what you doing down here? You looking for a dead body? Don't look among the living for a dead body. And then he said, Jesus had told him this. He said, go tell the disciples. Listen to this. He said, go tell the disciples and Peter. That's sweet. And Peter. He didn't say, go tell the disciples and John. No, Peter needed extra assurance. Imagine. Imagine Peter denied the Lord. Cursed and swore. Denied the church. Denied the faith. Denied the Lord. And I can see him. He said, he's dead. The last thing I said was bad. Last thing I did, I cussed and swore and denied him. Imagine if the young man or the angel had said to the ladies, go tell the disciples. The ladies had gone and found the disciples and said, hey, he's not there. He's risen. I was told to tell the disciples. Peter said, that's not me. I'm no disciple. I'm a cussing fisherman. I denied him. And so Jesus said to the angel, tell the ladies, go tell the disciples and Peter. Can you see them coming out? And said, hey, disciples, Jesus is risen. Peter is listening. And he says, yeah, I wish I was a disciple still. And then came over and said, Peter, I got a special message for you. He said, Jesus called your name especially. Isn't that sweet? Good night. That's too sweet to talk about even. And he said, Peter. Peter said, what is it? Peter, I got a special message for you. Peter said, what is it? Drop dead? No. He said, Peter, said the Lord wanted you to have a special message that he's risen. And Peter said, I don't believe that. I can't believe it. I mean, the last thing I did was deny him. And I'll never forget that look. Oh, that broken-hearted look. That look as if he had lost a friend. That look as if he had lost my love. I'll never forget that look. And to think that he would send me a special message. And so the young man said to the ladies, go tell the disciples and Peter. Tonight, if you've wandered away from the plan of God for your life, and if your heart's grown cold, let me tell you that the disposition of our God has never changed. Our God's attitude toward sin is the same it was 2,000 years ago. Our Savior's attitude toward sinners is the same as it was 2,000 years ago. And our Savior's attitude toward backsliders is the same as it was 2,000 years ago. And if Jesus said, go tell Peter, disciples and Peter, he could have said the disciples and John. Go tell the disciples and James. But Peter needed that extra call. And wherever you are tonight, your name is on the lips of Jesus. Jesus knows your name. And he sends you a message tonight. And he says, I love you still. I wonder what else that message said. You reckon maybe those messengers went and said, Peter, we have a special message for you. What is it? Well, the special message is, Jesus is risen. And he's not mad at you. He's not. No. He still loves you. He does. Yeah. He wants you back. Me back. What as a janitor? No, he wants you as an apostle again. I bet you Peter sang, rolled away, rolled away, rolled away. Every burden of my heart rolled away. Every sin had to go neath the crimson flow. And that's exactly what you can say. I don't care how far from God you've gone, there's a Savior who knows your name. And he sends you a special message tonight and says, come on home, come on back. There's something else I want you to notice. Not only... And it's going to get sweeter all the time to me. Not only did Jesus pray for Peter, and oh, God bless old Pete, and I bring him back, and God don't let his faith fail, but he looked at him with a look of compassion and love and sweet tenderness. And not only did he send a message, go tell the disciples and Peter, but I want you to notice the fourth thing. When Jesus rose from the dead, he came especially to Peter. Especially to Peter. Bible said, he hath appeared
The Lord has said to those Emmaus disciples, the Lord has risen and hath appeared unto Simon.
Notice he didn't say Peter. He said Simon. Because he's backslidden. Peter had chosen to go back to the old Simon life instead of the new life. And so it's no longer addressed him as Peter. He addressed him as Simon. That's what he said when he said to Simon, said, Simon, Satan hath desired to have thee and to sift thee. Goes back to the old Simon name. But the resurrected Lord. Listen, there's not one single place in the Bible that tells us that the resurrected Lord ever appeared to James alone.
There's not one single place in all of the Bible that ever tells us that the resurrected Lord appeared to the disciples alone except to Peter. Why?
Because he wanted to let Peter know he still loved him in a very special way. I wonder which one does Jesus love the most tonight in this room. Does he love the one last week that prayed the most? Does he love the one most tonight in this room who read the Bible the longest? Does he love the one most tonight in this room who won the most souls? No, I can tell you whom Jesus loves the most tonight. He loves the one that's farthest from himself. And Jesus comes and says, the Lord is risen. 1 Corinthians 15:5 says he was seen of Cephas. Didn't say he was seen of John. Didn't say he was seen of James. Didn't say he was seen of Bartholomew. Didn't say he was seen of Andrew. He was seen of Cephas. When? I don't know. Doesn't say when. There's no chronological order here where I can tell you exactly when he came to Cephas. I do not know. I do not know. What? Where was it? I don't know. What was said? I think I know that. I think he said, Peter, I sent the message. Did you get the message? Peter said, yeah, I sure did. Did I ever? I never thought you'd want me anymore. Last time you saw me, I was cussing and then denying you. I think Jesus said, Peter, did you get the message that I've risen? Peter said, yeah, I got it. I got it. I got the message. And Jesus said, Peter, I won't talk to you. He said, Peter, this is exactly, hear me now. He said, this is exactly why I had to go to the cross. Because you're a sinner. This is why I had to go.
This is why I had to die. Peter, this is why I didn't want you to cut off the head of the servant because I must be delivered. That was Old Testament scripture. I had to go before Pilate. I had to go to Herod. I had to come back to Pilate. I had to be beaten with a cat of nine tails. I had to have myself stripped to the waist and stripes across my back. I had to go to Calvary. I had to die. But Lord, why did you have to die? I had to die!
So the very sin that you committed back yonder in denying me could be put under my blood and you could be saved. I think I know what Peter did too. I think Peter, when Jesus said, Peter, your sins are forgiven. You mean the sin of denying you?
Yep.
You mean the sin of denying the faith?
Yep.
You mean the sin of cursing and swearing?
Yep.
You mean the sin of denying the church?
Yep.
He said, Peter, I couldn't have done that if I hadn't gone to the cross. If you'd have had your way, I couldn't do it. The only way I could do it is by shedding my blood. Now, I read the Hebrew, the Greek on this. And it says in the Greek that Peter started singing, there is a fountain filled with blood. Go on, sing it from Emmanuel's veins. And sinners plunge beneath that flood, lose all their guilty stains. Ah, yes, lose all their guilty stains. Lose all their guilty stains, and sinners plunge beneath that blood, lose all their guilt. And Peter was forgiven. Now come to the fifth and last thought. Not only did Jesus come with a tenderness and say, Peter, I prayed for you. And did he look upon him with a look of compassion and mercy? And not only did he send and say, go tell the disciples, and Peter. And not only did he decide to make a personal public appearance to Peter in his resurrected body and give him an audience that no other disciple got. Remember, he came one morning. Peter was out fishing. Sure is fishing, going back to the old life. Jesus went out there where he was. Catching anything? Peter was naked. Whenever you get a little wrong with God, you begin to strip off your clothes. And you women this summer run around half naked all over. And three quarters naked. I saw a sign one time that said, ladies' clothing, two thirds off. I said, more than that off. But I saw another sign that's very encouraging. It said, ladies ready to wear clothing. I said, wonderful. About time they got ready to wear clothing. That wasn't as good as the first one, but it did fill up a few minutes. But Peter was out there naked. And Jesus said, how's the fishing? He said, dirty brick, back along, bust, flatter rip. Fished all night, never caught a thing. I know that's what he said. I fished all night, never caught a thing, too. And years ago in a church, I had a little small church. When I first went to Garland, we only had about 50 people. And we had about six deacons, and we went on a fishing trip. Can you imagine that? And went out one night to a certain lake, Lake Texoma, and we fished all night long and didn't get one solitary thing. And all of us were so disgusted. We didn't either, but we almost did. Yeah, we didn't cuss, but if you'd written something on a piece of paper, I'd have signed it, I'll tell you for sure. But I remember my deacon chairman, F.P. Nall, he was so disgusted. Oh, not long. And the sun was coming up, not a bite, not a nibble. He said, let's go. He took off. As he took off, pulled his line out of the water, and there's a fish on the end of his line. And he never knew it. But I fished all night, never caught. And Jesus said, put you. That's over here. Peter said, who you think you are, buddy? You work here? No. He said, my daddy's been fishing here for years, and he said, I am a fisherman by trade. And if you look at that sign up there, it says says Zebedee and son. I'm sorry. So I am a fisherman, and my daddy and I, we're together in business here. Jesus said, okay, put over anyhow. He did. And he lifted his net up. And all those fish were there. And Peter remembered. I remember one other time. Oh, my. He said, it's the Lord. There he was naked out there in the boat. He jumped off the boat into the water. And Jesus called him over and gave him something to wear. And Jesus fixed him breakfast. They had fried fish. There's nothing better than frying fish right after you catch them. And had fried fish. I want you to notice something here. I love this. Peter denied him by a fire that was built by the heathen. He gets right by fire that was built by Jesus. He denied him three times. Jesus asked him three times if he loved him. But I want you to notice that very familiar little word. Jesus said, Peter, do you love me deeply? Do you agape me? And Peter said, now follow me carefully. I'm going to show you the most beautiful thing of the sermon. Peter said, Lord, thou knowest I phileo you. That means I'm fond of you. Jesus said, Peter, do you love me, agape me, deeply love me? And Peter said, Lord, thou knowest I'm fond of you. Then the next time, Jesus lowered his word to Peter's word and says, Peter, are you fond of me? And Peter said, yes, Lord, I'm fond of you. Peter never used agape, but now wait a minute. You read 1st and 2nd Peter, you folks that know Greek. And Dr. Evans, did you know that every time Peter uses the word love in 1st in his epistles, it's always agape? He got his agape back. Yeah. I mean, he phileoed him. It's like you're cooking him, doesn't it? He phileoed him. But, oh boy. He got right with God and wrote those epistles. Every time he used the word love, it was always agape. Don't you see the tender, sweet, precious way the Savior got him back? First, I see him as he prayed, oh God, bring Peter back. Oh Father, bring my friend back. And then he looked at Peter, a look that Peter would never forget. And then when he rose, he told us, the angel to tell the ladies, go tell the disciples and Peter that I'm living, I'm risen from the dead. And then he made a special appearance to Peter, like he made to no other disciple or apostle. And then he said, Peter, you love me. He wanted Peter's love. And then he gives Peter the same commission he gave him before. Now, I can't do this as old John Rice could. So I'll use his words instead of mine. He said, just a few days later, he is walking down the street and he saw a fella preaching from the back of a pickup truck on a corner of Main Street and State Street. And he said he is really letting him have it. And he said, never saw such preaching in his life. Heard such preaching in his life. Somebody said, who is that? Who is that? Hit that old cussing apostle. Aren't you glad God loves sinners?
Aren't you glad God will take sinners back? Aren't you glad that God forgives? Aren't you glad
that God can use you again? And He can. He can. I wonder tonight, where are you? Are you doubting the wisdom of God's judgment? Is God on trial with you? Or have you gone farther than that? Have you boasted and said, not me, buddy. Some of these folks need kneel to honor, but not me, boy. Not me. Or have you gone farther than that? Have you left your prayer closet? And have you not watched and prayed? And have you quit your agonizing before God? Or have you gone farther than that? Huh? You follow afar off. Or have you gone farther than that? Have you denied the church? Or have you gone farther than that? Have you denied the faith? Or have you gone farther than that? Have you denied your Lord? Or have you gone farther than that? Have you cursed? And have you sworn? And are you away from the will of God for your life? He loves you. He hasn't changed. God's attitude, see, He says, I am the Lord thy God. I change not. I change not. That means that backsliders today still praise for Him. That means that backsliders today, He still looks with compassion on them. That means that backsliders today, He still sends a special message to them He sends to nobody else. That means that backsliders today, He comes and makes a personal appeal to you in a way He makes to nobody else. Backsliders today, He comes and says, do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? He does. Oh, yes, He does. 10,000 times He does. With tender hand, He lifted me. From sinking sand, He lifted me. No, He didn't come with a gruff like we do. I'll tell you what! No, He doesn't do that. He comes with a sweet prayer. God, Father, bring Him back. He comes with a sweet, tender look and a sweet personal message and a sweet personal appearance and then a tender ask, seeking of your love. Our Heavenly Father, I feel like I've been walking through a garden of flowers that always bloom. I feel like I've been drinking from a fountain that never will run dry. I feel like I've been walking a little bit down golden streets. What a wonderful way you handled Peter.